This is a Rally Week in Review for February 2, 2009. I'm James Turner, contributing editor for O'Reilly Media, and your host for this week's review of what's happened around the web and a few tips and tricks from some of our authors. We'll also have the answer to last week's quiz and a new quiz for you this week that could score you any book in the O'Reilly catalog. All that on O'Reilly Week in Review. We'll begin this week with a tip from author Matthew Russell, who wrote Dojo, the Definitive Guide. Matthew says that if you like the idea of source control, but been put off a little bit by the complexity of SVN, then Mercurial might be just the thing for you.
Everyone developing software these days uses source code management tools like CVS or Subversion. Although I've primarily been a fan of Subversion over the years, most of the work that we do at Zafra, my consulting firm, now uses Mercurial because it extends or replaces Subversion's functionality and it simplifies a number of operations. To talk you through a sample scenario, let's say that you want to quickly initialize a local repository for an ad hoc project you're working on to protect yourself from yourself. All you have to do is type hginit from within a directory to initialize a repository. From there, you can use hgstat to see that you have a working directory, and at that point, use hgadd to add files to the repository. An hgcommit command persists a particular revision of the files when you're ready. And in case you're wondering, yes, hg is used because it's the symbol for mercury from the periodic table of elements. Note that unlike Subversion, I didn't have to go through configuration steps to initialize a central repository, then check out from it, then check back into it. So long as you have Mercurial installed at the command line, you just use the hg command and get on with your day. But let's say that you want to go one step further and share the repository you've created with a colleague. You just use Mercurial's built-in web server via the hgserve command to make your repository accessible over HTTP. Then your colleague can clone your repository with the hgclone command, and at that point the two of you each have an equivalent repository. You can use the hgpull and hgpush commands to propagate changes back and forth with one another. To put that in perspective, it's basically a peer-to-peer model for source code management. There's lots more to be said, but perhaps the best way to get started with Mercurial at this point would be to go to the project site. It's selenic.com, that's S-E-L-E-N-I-C.com, and reference the Mercurial wiki. My conviction's that if you've ever felt that Subversion may have been a little too cumbersome at times, you'll find Mercurial to be that lightweight tool you've been looking for.
Thank you, Matthew. I'll have to try it out. In last week's pod quiz, we asked you to identify a quote from one of the earliest movies to use climate change as its main plot point. As you may recall, the line was about frozen fuel and helicopters. Well, of course, that line was from that immortal film, The Day After Tomorrow, which had physicists and climatologists around the world cringing in their seats. Michael Martin of Madison, Mississippi, how's that for alliteration, was the first person to get us the correct answer. He chose the book Mind Performance Hacks. Stay tuned for later in the podcast. We'll have a new quiz question and your chance to win any book in the O'Reilly catalog. As we all know, Web 2.0 and open source is all about building communities. Author John O'Bacon is working on a new book for O'Reilly that's going to talk about how to build communities, and he'd like your help and your stories to make it work.
Hi, I'm John O'Bacon, and I'm the author of a brand new book on community called The Art of Community. The book is going to focus on a range of different aspects of building strong community. And in my position as the Ubuntu Community Manager, I've been building community for about a decade now. The book's going to cover things such as processes, infrastructure, building buzz and excitement, conflict resolution, and all manner of different things to build a strong and healthy community. The book has been edited by Andy Oram, and recently we just had Simon St. Laurent join the team. So we're off to a pretty good start. Now, the thing about The Art of Community is that it's all about stories. It's about stories and anecdotes that explain the concepts and illustrate the concepts in the book. And we've got stories coming in from people like Chris Messina from Spread Firefox, Leslie Hawthorne from Google, Paul Hudson, who's the editor of Linux Format magazine, Jeremy Allison, who's with the Samba project, Mike Linksfate from the Creative Commons, Christina Vidusko, who's from the SPCA Animal Welfare Organization, and Ton Rusendahl from Blender. This book is all about stories, and this book is looking for stories from you. So I'd encourage everybody who's listening to this, if you're in a community and you've got great stories about building strong community, about setting up processes and infrastructure, about dealing with conflict, about building buzz and organizing events. I would love to hear your story. So send them over to Jono, that's J-O-N-O, at jonobacon.org. That's Jono at jonobacon.org. Now, just before I finish up, you can keep up to date with the book at the website, which is www.artofcommunityonline.org. That's artofcommunityonline.org. At that website, there's going to be a stack of writing updates, there's samples of the content, there's news, there's information about who's participating in interview content and things like that. On that website, you can also link to the Twitter and Identica microblog feeds and the Facebook group as well. So go along and check it out. I'll be popping up in this podcast for some regular updates. And the book is going to be printed and published by O'Reilly in the summer and also available under a free Creative Commons non-commercial share-alike license too. Thanks, folks.
And now the moment you've all been waiting for, this week's pod quiz. This week, we're going to ask you something about the Free Software Foundation's GNU operating system. As you may know, GNU stands for GNU's Not Unix, a recursive acronym. But GNU, like Linux, has a kernel inside of it. If you can tell us what the name of that kernel is and why it's called that, you'll win any book of your choice from the current O'Reilly catalog. If you live outside the United States, you can win any electronic copy. If you think you know the answer, send it to podquiz, P-O-D-Q-U-I-Z, at O'Reilly.com. The first person with the correct answer will get their choice. Good luck! Well, the O'Reilly Tarsier has come out of its hole, and it did see its shadow, which means it's the end of this podcast. Join us next week for more commentary from our authors, a look at upcoming events, and, of course, a new quiz. Until then, this is James Turner for O'Reilly Media.